Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Frankfurt. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
This is a real word from heaven. I have never preached this before. I began writing it in the plane on the way over, and I believe it's a word for our church. And it'll be first preached here in Frankfurt, but I've got a feeling I'm going to go right around all the locations with this word because I feel it's something for our church for the future, very prophetic over our age. And so I really sense today that I'm coming out not as a mother of the house, but with the office of a prophet today. So I want you to be leaning into God's word. And I don't say that lightly or very often for those that know me. So are you strapped in? Okay. So the title of my message today is Counterfeit Gold. And it's interesting because trends really change over time. And I remember when Dave and I were young, and we were young once, believe it or not, and when we met in the 80s, and when we were young, the trend was for young men to just put on their shoes and go for a run, and that was fitness. Now, I discover the trend is mostly guys in a mirror, in the gym, pumping up very, very large muscles and doing nothing with their legs. So they look like inverted triangles because all you see is shoulders. I'm lulling them into a false sense of security here, Siobhan. Can you feel that? Yeah, you know where I'm going. And because trends have changed for what you're supposed to look like or what fitness is supposed to look like. And some things were meant to change, but others were not. And I commented to Dave, my husband Dave, the other night, that the age we live in now does not resemble even what we were doing when we were planning church 20 years ago. The whole spirit of the age, it's completely different. And there's a level of consumerism and self-absorption now that never existed before. It's in our society and it threatens to creep into our lives and into the life of the church. And the strange thing is that fashion and trends change so slowly that at times you barely feel the change. It's like when I look in the mirror, I can't see the change. But then when I look at a photo of even 5 years ago, I get a fright. Because I might look, oh my goodness, you are looking old. And it's almost like an insidious change that if we're not aware, we don't feel. And I believe that this slow drip has begun to be evidence in God's church itself. And some things should not be changed by fashion or convenience. It's become about the cult of the hero and not about the cult of the hero. It's become about when we don't see the immediate microwave in our hands answers, we create a counterfeit in our lives and in our communities that resemble the real God thing but is dangerous in its counterfeit. Are you leaning in now, church? Counterfeits are meant to be made to be able to be played off as truth. But counterfeits are not truth and counterfeits are not valuable. So I'm going to take you to a story this morning that is never preached in church. The story of the golden calf. And it's from Exodus 32, verse 1. And the first verse says, when Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, let us make gods who will go before us. They wanted to create something that they could see with their eye and they didn't have to see in faith. They wanted to create something that was in front of them at their moment, but meant they didn't have to look to God for vision and faith for the future. Am I talking to you, church, this morning? And then in Exodus 32, verse 4, it says, Aaron took what they had handed him. The people handed him their gold and their trinkets, and they made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. They weren't. Let's just, these were not the God that brought them out of Egypt. These were a bunch of gold things thrown in a fire and shaped in the shape of a calf. They built an altar around a feeling. And they built an altar around an experience. And they built an altar around delay. And this is what oftentimes we do, is we create a counterfeit around delay because we're not willing to wait for the God promise. I told you it was hard hitting. But this was not faith. It was gear dressed up as a trendy solution. And it became no longer about where they were going or where God was taking them, but it became about where they were now. And I, for one thing, I know about vision and purpose. When we lose sight of vision, as the Bible says, without vision, men perish. And they begin to create situations and things in their lives that are not constructive to where God wants to take us. I love that society advert today because it said, send me. Let's get back to mission, church. Let's get back to what we're called to be. We are called to be a community that reaches the world around us for Jesus. That is our call. Our call is to plant churches. Is anybody leaning in this morning? Our church, for the guys, I've got a bad tooth infection. Our call is not to just decorate chairs. Our call is to win the world. That's what we're here for. It was no longer remembering the great victories God had won or the great redemption purchased for their souls. They'd just been taken out of Egypt. God had just removed all the plagues and they'd walked across the sea and they didn't remember in 5 minutes. I want to bring you back today to the incredible things that God has done. The very fact that we are redeemed, and many of us today, from a life that would have destroyed us, is a miracle. And today we need to be reminded. It was no longer about where they were intending on taking or leading others. It became about a T-shirt. The T-shirt I saw in a shop last week, and everyone was buying it. And it became about a T-shirt, and printed on the T-shirt was self-love. And they turned the T-shirt into a festival. In Exodus 32, verse 5, he said he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. This wasn't a festival to the Lord. This was a festival to a counterfeit golden calf. And they proclaimed it as a festival to the Lord. It was a mistake. It was a festival celebrating a worthless counterfeit copy created in the midst of a delay in the promise of God. Am I talking to you this morning, church? The delay is not the moment to be creating a festival celebrating humanity in delay. The delay was really about holding on to the original promise, holding on to vision. It was pronounced as truth, but it wasn't. Let me just stop for a moment and let you get your breath back. That's what the world's doing. It's creating a festival around celebration of itself. And we were designed to have purpose. We were not designed to have a scout jamboree about the campfire of us. That's not who we were designed to be. And God wants to put purpose and passion back in the church for what and who he really wants us to be. It made it look like the golden calf was holy, but it wasn't. It was counterfeit gold. It's amazing what Aaron, he was a man of God that had walked the walk. And in Exodus 32, verse 24, he said, well, this is what happened, people. He said, I told the people to take the jewelry off and, you know, let's create a collective here. And do you know what he said? And he said, out of the fire just popped a golden calf. Yeah. Like, you are telling me that you just collected it and you just threw it in there and out it popped? So deception, once it takes root in the heart of man, turns into something that completely takes us off our course. It was a deception in Aaron's heart in the delay that developed a collective, it developed a movement, and it developed a counterfeit. And I don't want our church to look like that in the slightest. I don't want us to buy into the spirit of the age that creates a campfire around self and not a campfire around vision and purpose. Is anyone with me today? God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. God has destined all of us from the beginning of time to be a light on a hill, to be a people that are purposed to go somewhere and do something and create something. We have 75, 80 years, if we're lucky, of this life before God promotes us into eternity. And when I stand in heaven, I don't know about you, I want to be looking back at the thousands of people that are following me in, because I didn't camp around cynicism and criticism when I was waiting for God. Do you know it says in Exodus 32, verse 35, after all this had happened? There's this verse, and it said, "And so they became a laughing stock to their enemies." So when we think we're cool, the enemy of our soul is actually laughing at us because he realizes that we have lost purpose. The enemy of our souls and the enemy of the church laughs when we develop a system in delay that is powerless and deceptive and mimics the world around us. Do you know, I realize at times that so much of the world and of the purity of who we are as God's people has crept in even over the last 10, 15 years. And Dave was amazing last Sunday morning in Sheffield. He's really stepping up as the apostle that he is at the moment. And he got up in church and he said, "This Sunday, I'm speaking to you as an apostle." He never says that. And then he said, "Fairy Dave has gone for a while." Because Fairy Dave is not going to speak truth. The apostle of the house needs to speak truth. We need to speak truth again, because at the door of us, of our church, is the enemy laughing at us because we are not speaking truth. The delay actually was about holding on to the original promise, holding on to vision. The delay actually was about the refinement of vision and not the opportunity to make a movement out of criticism and cynicism. When we are in delay, God is refining us and making us ready for the next thing. Are you still alive, church? Have I scarred you for life? So then it goes on in Exodus 33, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." This was a promise that was before them. And you've got to leave the place of doubt and of human invention and lean back into the promise. Lean back into vision. Lean back into send me. And not be ensnared by a counterfeit in delay. I shared yesterday with the ladies, Dave and I have just been miraculously released from a situation whereby we'd been sued for £535,000 for the last 12 years, 12 to 14 years, I think it is now. And literally 1 month ago, we walked away for £1,000. It's an absolute miracle. But let me tell you, 8 years ago, 8 years ago, I got a verse from Scripture, from Job chapter 5. And the verse said to me, "You will count your property and find nothing missing." And for 8 years, whenever that fear has come into my heart about losing everything, I've quoted that scripture to anyone who will listen. I will count my property and I will find nothing missing. I refuse to pack up the vision of what God had placed it, because if we'd moved back to Australia, we could have walked away from that threat. It wouldn't have followed us. But we chose instead to quote the word of God in those 8 years and not back down from vision in those 8 years and not to let go of the promise of God just because we were threatened by the enemy. We chose not to stop giving to the house of God in those 8 years. We actually have upped our giving in that time. Am I being prophetic to you today, church? You're going to go, I wish I stayed in bed because I'm being challenged this morning. And then we get to Exodus 33, verse 5 to 6. And the Lord said to Moses, now take off your ornaments and I will decide what to do with you. Don't you love that? It's like your mother speaking to you. I'll decide what to do with you when you get home. And so then it said, the Israelites stripped off their ornaments. What are our ornaments? For some, it's the ornament of ease. For others, it's the ornament of debate and discussion. For others, it's the ornament of me and my life first. And I'm basically, as I'm saying these things, this is the spirit of the age. When we were young people, I sound like back in my day. But it's truth, you know. We have to come back to truth, not to generations, back to truth. It was, what can I give up for the gospel? Now is, what can I keep and still have the gospel? And it's the spirit of our age. And we are not designed or purposed to be mimics or counterfeits of our age. We need to look different. We need to be culturally different to the world around us. We need to speak to our age and not allow our age to speak to us. And we need to be deliberate about it. Because the age threatens to silence the church. But my Bible says that the church of God forcefully advances. And we need to take hold of it. We need to get on our guns again and get going and hold on to the original vision of God. Vision of God for the house. When people laid down their counterfeit gods, when they laid down the strategies of coping without God's permission, they met a God who fully intended to unroll the vision and the things he always intended for their lives. So the cry of Moses to the heart of God at this point in Exodus was this. And these are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Exodus 33. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Not, you don't have to take rest. He says he will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, we cannot go up from here. The response of God to a heart that cried out again, not for a counterfeit, not for milling around in the desert, but the heart that again cried out in vision. It was God redefining and rewriting again his vision for their lives and their house. Just because you're waiting for your next building does not mean God's vision has changed. And we can mill around in delay, but may God today restoke the passion and the fire of God for why we are waiting. Now, Moses, in the first instance, had been up on the mountain getting direction from heaven, and he chiseled it out on tablets. And then Mo did what many of us would do. Then he smashed the original tablets in temper. And he smashed him in frustration at the faith of the people or the lack of faith of the people. And then in Exodus 34, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablet. When I was thinking about this, I realized that no two pieces of stone look alike. So when Moses picked up these tablets to write again, the template looked a bit different, but the words were the same. And so when we're in delay, we're thinking God's going to write something new or God's going to change his mind. But no, God might change the tablet, might change the way things are done, but the original vision he wrote again. It was the same thing. It was the same. God still wants to win the world. It just doesn't necessarily be the way you thought it was going to happen, but the vision is still the same. And then God allowed Moses to write them again. And my prayer today is that vision is written again on the tablets of our hearts. No two stones look exactly alike, but the DNA was the same as the first. Their method of delivery may have been different, but the truth in them and the promise was exactly the same. I've learned something over the years, Siobhan, when I'm preaching like this, that it's deathly quiet. It's because your spirit's leaning in. I know your spirit's leaning in. We all want purpose and vision. And we're all challenged in the waiting, every single one of us. The vision over our lives and over this church has not changed. I don't know how long or short this message is, but hey-ho. It must not be muddied by self-effort and self-profits and self-admiration. It must not be muddied by the disrespect of the age that microwaves desire into a manufactured process and bypasses the God process. This generation likes to microwave the promises of God. God prefers to put them in a slow cooker that builds something incredible. Let's compare for a second a burger you put in a microwave and one you cook on the grill. And this generation and the spirit that's trying to come into the church is that microwave generation that wants truth given and answers given now. And God says, will you wait? Will you hold on a vision and faith in your heart? And you know, something that cooks over a long time is a lot more potent and a lot more powerful. And God is cooking something of a new thing in Hope City Church right across every location right now as we speak. The delay is by design. The delay is not because Shav and Steve don't know what they're doing. The delay is by design, is because God has the perfect purpose. And God Church here has the perfect place and the perfect time and the perfect price and the perfect people. Hello? That is the truth, church. God is not a product. Our relationship with the immediate cannot hijack God's process. I'm trying to bring Mama Bear back, but it's not working. The truth remains the same. God wants us to move into a promise, but not via our strength or our arm, but by being a person and a collective of people whose sole pursuit is God's face. A people whose hearts are again stirred by the scripture. If you seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all your hearts. I don't think I've preached for, how long have I preached for? Like 10 minutes. Right, now the best bit. I've turned off my iPad. Church, we need a change. We need to not be armchair critics, but we need to be fully mobilized cheer squads. We need to be aware today of the spirit of the age that wants to come in and hijack our church by counterfeit gold. Stuff that looks good, but is not truth. And it's been a very interesting season of late for Dave and I, and we have been attacked on every side because we are proclaiming truth at the moment. Really proclaiming truth. And it means on the other side that we are going to carve out a church that is truly nation-changing. Because God's waiting for someone to say it as it is. And you can like me or dislike me this morning. I actually do care, but I'll pretend I don't. I'm not here this morning to massage ego. I'm here to say, Hope City Church, we need to get back from the rock from which we were hewn. And the rock from which we were hewn, this church, is two Australians aged 25 and 31, one of them pregnant, who left Australia 29 years ago almost now with not a penny to their name and believed God for everything, moved to a country where we knew nobody and carved out a church. And that is the DNA of Hope City Church. That's who we are. We are raw church planners. That's who we are as a house church. We are a church that believe God and step in faith even when we have nothing in our hand to do it, and we watch God provide. We are a church. We are a discipleship and leadership factory. That's who we are. We are a church that are raising up many young men and women and older men and women in this place, and you are called to the ministry. That's who we are. We are unrepentant about it. And for some of us this morning, we need to get back to what God's called us to do and stop milling around stupidity in the midst. Did that just come out of my painkiller mouth? So I wonder if we can have the band back. Don't stare at me like that, church. I can feel the daggers. I've spoken truth this morning, haven't I, church? It's time we got back to the rock from which we were hewn. People that believe God, that stay in adversity, because on the other side of adversity are hundreds of thousands of people that need to hear about Jesus. We're not people that wear a t-shirt called self-love. We're a church that wears a t-shirt that says, I love you, for God so loved the world that he gave. We're not a people that hold back, that hold our hand back and put it in our pocket. We're a people that give till it hurts, and then we give again. Do you think I feel like preaching this morning when I've been in agony for 3 days? No, I don't. It's because I love you more than you know. And I love you so much as your senior pastor here. I don't want to see our lives left in a valley of counterfeit gold. I wonder if you'll stand with me this morning, church. I'm going to do what you never do on a Sunday morning. I don't know. You probably do. Siobhan probably has. Happen all the time. We're going to have an altar call. And we're going to recommit ourselves. There's young men and women in this place, and you are called. You know the call of God in your life to ministry. And that's not all of us, because we're all called to minister. We're all called to minister in our workplaces and be the light of the world. But some of us today, we need to come to the front here and bow our knee and say, God, I don't want to be duped by the spirit of the age. And that's me too. You know, you can get old and long in the tooth like me and get comfortable. Although my husband never allows that for very long. Like every single year, we just about double our giving. It's insane. Our accountant looks at it and goes, what? Love it. We just confuse the guy. I want to be a person that every year more people are getting saved. That every year, come on. I want to be a person that every year I'm leading more people to Jesus. I just had coffee with a lady with pink hair 2 days before I came here from my gym, asking me, why are you such a nice person? I'm going to let me tell you why. You know, we've got to get back to mission. We've got to recognize that our neighbors on our left and on our right do not know Jesus and are going to hell. Come on. Let's get back to the rock from which we're hewn.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.